Cartel. It was a Sinaloa. Uh-huh.
Hey, we...
Chihuahua Cartel that did the assassination.
But they're fixing their cars.
It's I've nuts. Heard that from about four different sources. Okay? Hey,
we should have started 2 minutes ago, so I'm just going to quickly introduce us as the San Carlos Computer Club. We meet every Tuesday at 9:15 to 10:15-ish. Start a little late sometimes, hardly ever early. Run a little late most of the time. Here at Tequila's, anybody's welcome to come join us if they'd like. If you have any interest in tech topics, just sitting at our table makes you one of our members. If you can't make it, please look for us online live like we are now at our YouTube channel, youtube.sccclub.org. Or look at our website at sccclub.org. Again, I'm Scott Stimson from International Computer Solutions. Hopefully your resident computer expert here, willing to answer any of the questions you might have that I can't answer.
And more.
And more. And we're just talking about assassinations in Mexico, waiting for the tech angle. I think the biggest tech angle is we found out about it on Facebook, most of us. As per usual, I've got some topics with me, but I'd be very happy to answer any questions or hear any topics you guys have brought with you. Go! Has anybody got anything they'd like to contribute right off the bat?
Sure.
Go, Bob.
I was reading an article about anti-teching.
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 Well, Luddites.
And how people are going back to flip phones. And getting away from smartphones, and getting away from everything that smartphones do.
That didn't sound so smart.
Actually, it's interesting that you say that, Bob. I just this morning, and I didn't put it in my feed for today, but just this morning I read an article about, I think it was from Digital Trends. I see even that I'd have to double check. But the whole article was based on how happy they were to go back to a dumb phone. I mean, this is a tech person proclaiming how happy they were to go back to a dumb phone. And the example they had was the Nokia 8110 that's recently been released for basically India and those low-income markets. And it's a phone and an operating system that's all based in HTML5. And the idea is that you have a limited feature set. You can't waste a lot of time with it. But what was interesting is they were able to do the things they needed their phone to do and didn't miss the things they were using their phone for. And what I was impressed with, and I had to get it out of a different article, is this phone. They're calling it the banana phone because they're selling it as a yellow phone. But what you're describing is part of, it's one of those dumb phones. There's flip phones now that are coming out. The Nokia is not the only one. But it's recognizable because it's a banana color is the one they're marketing. And it's got a keyboard cover that flips out. You flip it out and you can make your phone call. You can send text messages from a hard keyboard. But it's sophisticated enough that it has an app store and it has apps already that have been. So he was able to do WhatsApp through it, Facebook through it, not to the extent that you're immersed into this computer experience, but to the extent of necessity. Like, that's all I needed to do. Now I can put it back in my pocket and go on with my life instead of getting caught up in the tech itself.
Does that mean you could go in your drawer and find that old phone that you bought in 2008?
Not quite, but these new phones are definitely phones that are way under $100 a piece. And one of the things that I was getting at was one of the things I was impressed by it is that it supports a hotspot. So this gets closer to that idea I think you've heard me talk about before, where you will have a small communications device with you. You wouldn't even consider trying to look at it to do any real computer work. But it might be voice activated. They already have Google Assistant for this phone ready to go. So I can imagine that very quickly you'll be able to tell the phone to do things for you. Like, I'm going to go home, show me the map because it's got mapping on it. But then you can, right, well, it's not that small of a screen, but it is a much smaller screen. But then you can turn on a hotspot. And so you can carry a tablet around for any real computer stuff that you might have to do. So you can keep the tablet in the car, keep the candy bar sized phone in your pocket function 90% of the time with a candy bar sized phone, and when you have to actually go write emails or check what's the weather or whatever.
For emergencies.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It'd be good for kids to get a first phone.
Well, and if it follows the suit, it should have a much longer battery life because there's so much less that it has to do. So much less. There's so few things that it actually has to do.
Is it directly related? Battery life is directly related to the number of apps?
Well, it could, but it's really, I mean, apps get related to processor power and speed and capacity. Mm-hmm. As you go up, you require more of everything. Mm-hmm. And so that includes battery.
They were talking about phones that didn't have apps, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is fairly interesting as far as the... Mm-hmm. What we're going to get is a sophisticated version of a dumb phone. We're gonna have this little phone... That's going to have you're going to be able to shoot off a picture with it, and you're going to be able to make phone calls with it and do basic text messaging with it. And when you need it, you're going to be able to turn on a hotspot, and then that'll power your internet connection for a second device that you
a
might
Dick
be carrying
Tracy around. Phone?
Well, now you're getting at the Apple Watch. Hey, you know, what I've forgotten to mention at the top of our meeting is that today is Disney Plus Day. Did you guys know that? Today is the 12th of November, which means Disney Plus has rolled out their new streaming service. This is priced competitively. They're looking at $6.99 a month. You get Disney, you get Marvel, you get Star Wars, you get National Geographic, all those Disney, Fox, you know, they own Fox now, so you get all those movies. They've got a whole slew of new content coming out. They announced like dozens of shows that are coming out on this new. It's going to be, $6.99 is pretty cheap, but you can also get it for $69.99 for the year. So you basically buy a year of it and get 2 months free. If you want to price compare that, Netflix is like around $9 a month, up to about $13 a month, depending on which plan you've got with Netflix.
Mine's 17.
Yours is 17?
That is Canadian.
Okay, I'm talking in American dollars. If you want a Canadian price, though, I wrote that down. It's $8.99 a month for Disney in Canadian, or it's $89.99 a year.
Do you need a DNS proxy to see it?
This is called Disney.
Now,
what?
I knew somebody was going to ask me that. So I did some research this morning, and if you go to DNS proxy's Twitter account, they have a blanket statement saying, "We're working on it. We realize it's one of the most important things our customers want to have access to, and it's our highest priority right now." So to answer your question, no.
What was your question?
If it would work with Smart DNS Proxy. And it absolutely will not at this moment. Who knows by midnight tonight? Mm-hmm. But at this moment, it's not.
If you can see the content without it. It doesn't matter.
Right, right. And that actually brings the other point. They rolled it out this morning. They clicked it on, and people started immediately having problems with it. So Disney Plus is supposed to be available all throughout the United States today. They have immediately backed off on that and said places like Puerto Rico and Canada may be waiting until the 19th. I was a little offended, you know, because you always feel like people forget Puerto Rico is part of the United States. Apparently Disney did as well. But they had guaranteed it to Puerto Rico on the 12th, and now they've backed away from that. This Disney Channel, it is going to be available on all the major platforms. So if you have an Apple TV, Apple device like an iPhone, iPad, an iPod as well, an iPod Touch, Android TVs, your Android devices are all going to support this. All the big ones, Google Chromecast, and TVs that have the Chromecast integrated, Roku, the Roku TVs, like the TLC TVs that have Roku as its base. These are all this stuff, PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, all the major streaming devices right now are going to support this. So I suspect within a month we will probably have stories of whether this works or not with Smart DNS, with VPN Express, or via one of these VPN service providers.
So it's going to mimic cable? No.
If anything, it would mimic Netflix. They also have special pricing for bundles.
Of course.
If you were to get ESPN and some hodgepodge of other services, it's $12.99 a month.
Other services that you don't really want.
I said a hodgepodge because I can't remember what I read.
Fox.
Yeah.
In fact, let me.
So what do you get for the $6.99?
You get the Disney catalog. And all the content that Disney owns. That is still that they haven't licensed away yet.
Including Fox?
No.
Yeah, that's my understanding. So you got the Fox movies, you got the Miramax movies, you got the TriStar movies. So
this might just really wipe out Netflix.
I think this is the one that's going to win in the long run. I think that starting out, they're a great competitor to Netflix, and I don't think Netflix has an offering. Netflix has been gearing up for a long time because they knew this was coming, and so they've put a lot of money into original content, but it hasn't paid off. They haven't seen the draw from those programs, those original programs. They're good, but they're not making purchasing decisions for people. At the same time, Netflix is kind of a staple. If they'd stop raising the price on it, I don't think people would cancel it. I think the only thing that's questioning whether you should cancel Netflix is they keep raising the price on it.
Well, I get two versions free because of T-Mobile. Gives you Netflix free, and Cox gives you Netflix free.
I think that kind of bundling is definitely going to keep it around for a long time. And actually, Disney Plus is being bundled with Verizon. So you can get a year of Disney Plus for free if you're a Verizon customer.
Now, the Disney classic movies have always been held back from the public and very occasionally released.
Yeah.
Are those going to be available? Bambi and Song of the South? Probably not some of
the I've listened to some speculation on it. I don't have a definite answer on that. But if from what I've heard, I bet they're all available today, and then we're going to go through cycles where they will be pulled off the service for a period of time. And if it was pulled, and like I would imagine, I mean, this is all speculation, but I would imagine we're going to see a cycle where the Bambi movie isn't available on streaming anywhere, but you can buy a Blu-ray of it, right? A special edition. I just watching the way the market works, these are the things I kind of envision would happen.
Scott, what's going on with AT&T?
They are. AT&T is now a media company. They own Warner Brothers. They own HBO.
But they keep saying that if you have a plan, they're going to raise the price. I haven't seen that yet, so I'm kind of confused.
DirecTV.
Oh, I got rid of DirecTV. They pissed me off.
Oh, hey, just to go back on pricing, Amazon Prime for movies is $12.99. HBO Now, which is about to be released, or no, it's already been released. I'm sorry, HBO Now has been around. It's $14.99, and Disney is $6.99. And Disney by far has the largest catalog to offer customers.
But I don't watch Marvel movies.
Well, yeah, but remember, they gobbled up all these media services. I mean, they own ABC. Right? So you've got all this back catalog. The moment they're not getting the subscriptions they expect to be getting, they can just start pushing out all of this content on that. They could give ESPN away for free. I mean, that alone, people never watch a Marvel movie would pay $6.99 because ESPN's right there.
Isn't ESPN free?
ESPN?
Isn't it? No.
I don't think so.
Oh, really?
No.
I know ESPN Plus isn't.
I watched a good football game last night on ESPN.
Is that
But it, you're probably referring to...
Scott's Radiosity.
Yeah,
oh.
yeah. yeah, and not a real service yeah. provider.
And they've separated the sports from all of the other all of the regular stations, so you got to go to a different place to get all of the sports.
Wow.
What we're really looking forward to is the siloing of all this content. So we're back to almost a cable model where you pay $14.99 to have access to all this content. You pay $6.99 to have access to this content. You, right? Because you're going to have... Oh, and Hulu. Hulu's part of the handful. For $12.99, you get access to ESPN and Hulu.
How is Hulu down here?
Doesn't work.
Doesn't
work.
Oh, this is the other thing.
That's
is
nice
that
they throw it in part of the deal.
This is the other thing. I went looking specifically for access in Latin America and Mexico, and they don't have a defined date when Disney Plus is going to be available in this area, which is a real slam to Latin America because Disney has always had a hand in Latin America. I can't help but think what they've done is they've licensed away their properties for a period of time that is in conflict with this release, and so they're waiting to get a majority of those rights back so that they can release with the Bambi movies, they can release with the Miramax movies, they can have them all under one umbrella, because it's just ridiculous. At first they were saying that we wouldn't be seeing it until 2021, which is like not releasing it at all. It's just like, oh yeah, of course, in 2 years we're going to have it in Mexico.
Well, CBS All Access, I signed up for it and it says not available.
That's right, but you can still get Star Trek through Netflix outside of the United States. that's not what you're looking for. A lot of CBS All Access content has been licensed outside of the United States to Netflix, so you might find the content you're looking for on CBS on Netflix Mexico, not Netflix US. You have to go to CBS in the US.
Yeah.
But Netflix in Mexico.
Through Roku, I can get Morning Joe, Rachel Maddow, and Lester, and then some other CBS stations, which are the new stations I'm interested in.
So that works.
And I didn't have to subscribe to that.
Well, this is the thing. As we go to this siloed model, I think that it's going to increase piracy once again. We're gonna see a lot more. We're gonna see a lot more of Radiosity. We're not gonna see less of it. We're gonna see a lot more of Kodi. We're not gonna see less of it. It's Streamio has been an amazing app on Windows, Macintosh, and Android. And anytime it doesn't work on Kodi for me, I go over to Streamio and it's working great.
Now I have a 60-inch TV, so I don't really want to watch a movie on my laptop.
Well, you could, if you were basing your whole experience from the laptop, you could do stuff like Miracast or Chromecast. You could just, a little device you could plug into your 60-inch TV and just cast the screen from your laptop over to the TV set.
Well, you know, when I first heard that you could watch a movie on your smartphone, I thought, well, that's crazy, you know, it's so little. But you hold it here, if you go like this, that's like a 55-inch
right.
TV on the wall.
That's right.
You know, so you look at that dimension. So this is perfectly.
You need one of those harmonica stands, so you can just put it right in front of your face.
Sure.
Except you got to recharge the movie screen when you're finished.
And then you'd have one hand free for beer.
So for years, I would watch movies on my laptop, and I would lie on the couch and stick it on my chest and have the screen right here, and it was like being in a movie theater. Well, I'm 49 now, and so I have to get my reading glasses to have that experience now.
But his point was, you hold it out here, though, right?
Yeah, well, your arm gets tired.
Well,
I still need my reading glasses.
Laptop on your laptop.
Oh, there you go. A selfie stick. Yeah. I'm going to remember that for the next time I get taken out on a fishing trip, and I can put the selfie stick right in the fishing pole, and I'll be out there on the deck just watching movies. Everybody else is fishing.
That works for me.
And you'll have a better time than they had.
I think you all need a social life.
I have another question that relates to last week.
Oh, yes.
How's 13.2.2?
I haven't heard any issues. It's been blank. And I went out looking for them before this meeting, and I found nothing.
I didn't either.
So I'm thinking it might be okay to update to 13.2.
I may wait for a few days.
Yeah?
I'll wait until Monday.
That might be a good idea. And they might be pushing out a point release right now, covertly.
Oh, great.
What good topics do you have?
You mean other than Disney Day? And the fact that it's already falling apart? And that they don't consider Puerto Rico part of the United States?
But they're not the only one.
Yeah, the president doesn't.
It's true, I guess.
Well,
I had an interesting experience this morning with my Wi-Fi. And many of you may have a very, more sophisticated Wi-Fi these days that support two different radio signals, a 2.4G signal and a 5G signal. And let me say for this conversation, every time you hear me say 5G, we're talking about Wi-Fi access points, not the new rollout of cell phone towers. We're talking about strictly in your house Wi-Fi. So every time I say 5G right now, we're talking about Wi-Fi. We're talking about the Wi-Fi over there in the corner.
Scott?
Yeah.
We were talking about Mob Drill and it was.
Yeah.
They're using the resources. That's the page that you look at.
What is it here?
Yeah.
When it comes up.
So is this is just getting it set up, right?
Well, it's already set up as far as I can see.
When
you're yeah, it's.
In, you're already. No, mm-hmm. Donating your services to someone else.
Oh, I hear what you're saying. Well, I would be interested in looking at that, but not in the middle of this thought.
It is free in return for sharing idle resources with Illuminati.
That's a great name for a
Illuminati?
Yeah, for a third party business that's paired with a service that you're trying to use. Give third-party access to the Illuminati to use your spare cycles for whatever. Whatever. I just give blanket permission, you know.
For computer sharing?
Yeah. Pretty soon there's a knock on the door. There's all this child porn in your Roku box. You're like, I had nothing to do with that. Anyway, what I was going to say, my wireless experience this morning, I learned some new stuff. A couple of days ago, I noticed that my Macintoshes, and they're old Macintoshes, lost the ability to connect to that 5G wireless signal. I had experienced in the past issues with Telmex Wi-Fi routers, very bizarre experiences, like the 5G just gets turned off. The 2.4 continues to run.
Yeah, it's not always accessible.
Well, today it was not accessible, but in the past I've seen it disappear. Every device on my network can't see it. I get into the router and it's like somebody has gone in and turned it off. I've also had experiences where I could witness that. I'd be like, this is weird. What if I were to just, because I'm a tech person, instead of just turning it on, I'm like, well, what if I just reboot it like a normal person? It's not working. Let's turn it off and turn it on. Mm-hmm. I've seen that both work and not work to resolve that problem. I've turned it off, waited a few seconds, plugged it back in. Miraculously, 5G came back. I've also done the same thing, and it didn't come back. When it didn't come back, I was able to go into the router's administration pages and click the button to turn it on, and it would turn on, it would come back. And I'd unplug it and plug it back in and see that it was stable and it would come back. Just these bizarre experiences with Telmex equipment. Well, today was the most bizarre experience for me because I had noticed that this had happened a couple days ago and I just hadn't bothered to start looking at it. And I figured it was off throughout my network and I have all my devices set up to connect to either signal, so I figured that's the reason everything's still working, is everything's just connected 2.4 and I'll figure out the 5G thing later. I go into my back office and I notice, no, I've got equipment hooking up to the 5G. It's just my Macintoshes that don't see the 5G, which is really bizarre. And I went into the router and sure enough, everything is turned on, everything's working. And it, of course it is because my devices see it. I mean, not my phone, but my tablet sees it, and my other computers in the network see it.
Is 5G just a bigger and better version of 4G, or is it something different?
Well, Gary, if you had not been working on your own thing, you would have heard me prefix this with every time I say 5G, I'm talking about a Wi-Fi access point. And our Wi-Fi access points right now support 2.4G and 5G.
He's getting nasty in his old age.
You know what I have? Well, there was no 4G. There was never 4G.
Next week he's going to have a stick.
That's right. I'm going to go, whack! Pay attention! Whack!
I've heard a lot of lies.
No, we are not talking about cell phone technology. We're talking about Wi-Fi technology, and there was never a 4G and Wi-Fi technology. And actually,
that doesn't answer my question. The question was, is there a connection between 4G and 5G?
Not in this context.
In any context?
Well, if we were talking about cell phones, absolutely. But we're not. We're talking about local Wi-Fi access.
There is a 5G cell phone.
That, yes. Yeah.
And it's different from 5G internet?
It's different from 5G Wi-Fi. It's completely different. In fact, to make the distinction...
The Wi-Fi is your own little circuitry. Your own.
4G
yep.
or 5G is an adjective of the capacity of the system.
There you go. The when you're talking about cell phones, you're talking about separate generations of technology. When you're talking in Wi-Fi, you're talking about different radio frequencies. And unfortunately, they have...
They call them the same thing.
Yeah, unfortunately, they've used the same terminology. And that's why I clarified before I started this discussion.
If he was paying attention.
If he had been paying attention, he'd know what I was talking about.
We still never made the connection between why is it called 4G and why is one called 5G?
What's okay, you're derailing my train of thought, though.
Well, how do we get into the
world? It's not for you to know.
The point that I'm trying to get to is something that I never realized before today, is that your Wi-Fi device that supports 5G radio can be limited to certain channels. Your device is only compatible with whatever channels were made available when the device was built. And this problem appears on my Macintoshes, not any of my other equipment. My Macintoshes are 2007 and 2011. They were incompatible when we had Wi-Fi 802.11n. We've gone up to 802.11ac, which is where the standard is gone. In was kind of a default standard. Default being the wrong word. It was the standard that they thought we were going to, and then they standardized on AC. And if you can get an AC connection. Yeah, it was before there was a standard. In was before there was a standard.
You don't want us paying attention, really.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Is there
going to
be a test on this?
No, not at all. The only point I was trying to get at is if you're seeing devices, because this turned out to be my router.
I think you need a new router.
Channel on
it. It changed the channel, and what I learned in my Telmex router is that I have no control over the channel. I have control over the 2.4G channel, but I don't have control over the 5G channel.
Because I was going to say, they had me change the channel one time when I was having a problem.
Well, and I've definitely used Telmex routers of different models where I could set a 5G channel, but on mine, I cannot set a 5G channel. Now, it gets even weirder because it'll tell you what channel you're on. It says I'm on 52, but I couldn't see it on any of the Macintoshes. On the Macintosh, you can go into About Macintosh. You can go into System Report. You can go under Wi-Fi. It will tell you every channel you're compatible with. 52 is right there in the list. It should be compatible. What I did was I turned off 5G, turned it back on, and that eliminated the problem for the Macintoshes. Everything else continued to work like it was before. It still says it's on 52. Telmex equipment, that's what it comes down to, Telmex equipment. I suspect that the problem would have been resolved for a normal person if they'd just taken a paperclip and hit the reset button on the router and let it go through a complete reset. It would have fixed the problem on my Macintoshes.
So I have a question.
Okay.
Can you plug a different router into the Telmex and take get rid of the Telmex router and plug a different router?
No. Yeah, not for your, well, I mean, Jim, you can't, Jim can. That she, when she said you, she was referring to herself. I mean, yes, I can. In fact, I would ask Jim how to do it because I know he's done it.
I'm running three routers.
Well, but you're still using a Telmex as your bridge to the internet.
Yes,
that's right.
I turned off the Wi-Fi on the Telmex.
That's right, and that's what we had done with yours. Yeah. Is we had turned off all those features and used that repeater as a router.
But I need a better router.
Yeah,
that.
That's
why?
Right.
Why did you do that?
Why did I turn off the Wi-Fi?
Yeah,
because it's inferior to my router.
Yeah. Well, and it can cause conflicts.
How do you get Wi-Fi
through my routers?
Damn it.
I'm just using the Telmex.
Speak English.
I'm using the Telmex router.
Modem and router.
Yeah.
Modem.
Yes.
It's a router modem. As a modem.
The problem is we're not confusing it. They've confused us because they've put router, modem, switch, Wi-Fi all in the same device. So at any moment we could say any of those terms and it would be correct and we would be talking about the wrong thing.
Back up.
Keeping the modem.
I turned off the Wi-Fi.
That's right. And turning everything else off.
WLAN.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you have to hardwire it into the router.
That's right.
To one of the
that's
ports.
Right. You use the Telmex
router,
modem, router, wireless
and
switch
and
as just a modem. And then you hardwire it to the equipment you want to use. And that hardwire is giving you internet. But none of the other features. And you get derive all the other features from whatever equipment
you've
brought.
And then you can hook another router and hook into that one.
Now that you have told us what doesn't work.
Gary, I hope I didn't hurt your feelings. I wasn't trying to be mean. Go ahead. Bob, I'm going to try and hurt your feelings. Go ahead.
Now that you've told us what doesn't work, tell us something about that does work.
As far as...
Well, you said that your Wi-Fi wasn't working because of the 5G, okay? And so what does work? In other words, maybe a different subject that you have?
Oh, okay.
Well, he did solve that problem by pushing the right button.
Yeah,
yeah right.
The right buttons. Yeah, right. Well, what I really wanted to share with you was resetting the modem would have fixed this problem.
Right.
This was unique to old Macintosh technology. None of my other old technology that supports 5G was suffering from this. This is very unique to the Macintosh is not supporting whatever frequency it was on. And it wasn't fixed in the Macintosh. It was fixed in the router.
So I have a question.
The last thing that...
This is a router question.
The last thing that I wanted to enlighten you on, which I was not aware of, is that your equipment can be... compatible with only a small range of channels with your Wi-Fi, not a complete range, and it could be based on when your equipment was built. Those are the three points I was making with this.
So,
yes.
My neighbor is arriving soon, so I go over her Wi-Fi and her phone were working perfectly.
Okay.
Then they of course were doing work in the park, so then I went over to check and her Wi-Fi or her modem and her not just Wi-Fi her total internet and her phone were not working. So I put in a report in wherever it is, Hermosillo, Mexico City, wherever.
Yeah, Telmex, a Telmex report.
The 050. And so then I go over yesterday and I think, well, I'm going to unplug it all from the wall, from the power, not just pull the cords.
Yeah.
I did it all. So the modem comes up, and the only light is the power light and the Wi-Fi light.
Okay.
That
would
That's
be it. Standard with no DSL.
However,
yeah.
I can connect.
Yeah.
Well, you can connect to the Wi-Fi.
You can connect to
but
the
how
modem.
Can you...
But no internet.
But no internet.
Yes.
Yeah.
So if you have internet,
internet.
What are you connecting with a cell phone?
Uh-huh.
So you might check to see that Wi-Fi Plus feature isn't enabled. Yeah, it depends on the device that you're using, what it's called. But the idea is that you are able to bounce between Wi-Fi and cell depending on where you're getting...
So maybe
it's tricking.
Not working.
Yeah, maybe not working and it's switching over to the cell network.
She's going
to
want
to... You could connect to the router and the router's not connected to the
Well,
internet.
But then the actual
you need
light
flashes occasionally.
Is it random or is it random. Constant?
No, random.
So if it's random, that might mean that you have a connection depending on what modem you have. If it's random, it may be showing you activity. If it's a constant flashing, like every 5 seconds flashing, that's typically attempting to make a connection and not successfully making.
Random. You can watch it and nothing happens for, and then all of a sudden it'll flash on and then nothing will happen.
That sounds like a bad DSL connection.
Would you repeat what you just said about the light flashing?
Are you doing that?
Yeah, on the.
Have you increased the capacity, the speed, or have you improved the Wi-Fi?
Yes and no. You can't improve what you don't have.
Source.
But you can improve from your point of your modem to whatever you have coming into the house. If you've got 30 megs, which I do, I can get 30 megs in that room over there now, which I do, rather than having it drop.
Okay,
so back to your lights flashing.
Okay, so on the Telmex modems, keep in mind, I'm saying modems, it's a modem, it's a router, it's a Wi-Fi, it's a switch, all in one device. Mm-hmm. So one of those devices is the DSL modem. There's a DSL light. When it is synchronizing with the other end, which is the process of forming the DSL connection, it will flash. And it should flash somewhat constant until it has synchronized, and then it's a solid light. Now, some of these modems, not all of them, in fact, not hardly any of the new ones, but some of the older ones, when the DSL light would flash to indicate activity across the connection.
See, that's kind of what it seemed to my vision that that's what it was doing, because I was sitting there on my phone sending texts and stuff and looking at the internet, and it would flash.
Okay.
But the light was never solid.
So we'd have to verify which equipment you're using.
Yeah,
most of the new equipment has a solid DSL light, and it does not flash when it's connected,
but
when it's
WMA
synchronized. Well, then there's an internet light right beside it, and the internet light is what flashes when there's traffic. And so it just depends on what model equipment you're looking at.
So I don't think I fixed your problem.
Yeah.
So my question is, what's the difference between using your paperclip to reset and unplugging from the wall?
Oh, that's a great question. It's almost the same thing if you just press it. If you just press it, it's like turning it off and turning it on. And you can
press what?
With the paperclip. Yeah, if you just hit the pole once, it'll reboot the whole thing.
Uh-huh.
It's like hitting an off and on switch. But to reset a modem like I was describing before, you would hold it in there for like a 10-second count. In fact, I wouldn't even count. I just watch the lights. Because what will happen is the lights will all light up, and then they'll all shut down, and you'll know that it's gone through this procedure. But it is about a 10-second hold. And then you let go. And then what it's doing is it's setting up the modem with its original settings. So, if you had a Wi-Fi name configured in there, which I don't recommend doing, but if you did, it would be gone. If you set a Wi-Fi password, which I don't necessarily recommend, it would be gone, and so it'd be back to that password on the sticker, things like that.
I don't recall that we've had this discussion before.
Okay.
Is this just something that's happened this year?
As far as modem maintenance?
Yes.
I think we've talked about it various times.
Really?
Yeah.
Because this is the first time ever that I've had my computer working, and I was working away, and all of a sudden it just froze. The picture was there, the sound wouldn't work, everything was there, and I scratched my head, and I said, what happened? And so I went and unplugged everything, let it sit for 30 minutes, and plugged it back in, and everything worked.
Okay, well, Bob, you know, that is the catch-all fix. I mean, that's the IT line, right? Is you call IT and they're describing the problem. It's like, well, okay, did you unplug it? Unplug it, wait 10 seconds, plug it back in, call me if it doesn't work.
Right.
I just tell them, please wait while I do this.
Mine loses the internet.
Oh, could you unplug it at the same time?
Mine loses the internet about every half hour or something like that. I have to.
Yeah, but you've got a strong.
You're in Loma Del Mar.
Yeah.
Well, you just described your problem.
So
you just
it's a hiccup in the line. Yeah.
The real problem is you're in Loma Del Mar.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, but it happens in San Pedro too, and that's.
Cox
internet.
I can't speak to that, but. I happen to know that any of these Telmex issues in Loma Del Mar are Loma Del Mar problems because of the infrastructure.
But Judy, you know, yesterday they had two trucks at the corner of the park.
Scary.
So that must have been a real problem.
Well, see, they were supposed to be at Arbuckle's yesterday because I reported it Friday. They said they would be there Monday. Well, of course they weren't.
They got 3 days, three business days.
Right. So they'll be there Wednesday when I won't be there.
How does fiber optic happen? Is that just a company decision that if they can see it and make some money on it, they'll do it?
Well, you know, fiber optics, this is one of the grievances that our federal government has had with the long-distance companies, because back in the 90s and early 2000s, they gave tax subsidies to have fiber optics installed all over the United States. And so these companies didn't have to pay, I would imagine, billions of dollars in taxes because they took on this project of fiber optics. But then they still squeeze us for every, I mean, it should be a public infrastructure.
It still comes down to, can they make any money on it?
Yeah. I mean, they control that infrastructure like it's privately owned when really the state paid for it. By
public utility.
It should be a public utility. It just isn't, but it should be. And unfortunately, it's a topic that requires such a high level of technical knowledge that most taxpayers don't understand that's the way it's happening. In this country, I'm not quite sure how. I mean, I think Telmex took on the burden of the expense only when they thought they could make money with it. And when I got here back in 96, they had fiber optic rings all over town. I do not believe they've installed any new fiber optics anywhere in town outside of putting in switches that didn't exist before in neighborhoods like the Bahia or in the Caracol, where they physically brought out a switch that never existed when they first installed the fiber optics so that they could bring those speeds to people's houses. But it feels like the way Telmex does things is they only do that when they have to. And a good example is how, like, people that are, they're taking advantage of fiber optics. They take off for the summer, and they turn off their internet, and they come back, and they find they can't get it again because their neighbor got it. And Telmex isn't running out to update that equipment for more capacity, whereas that's all it should take. It should just take pulling that switch out and putting another one in or putting another switch right on top of it. They could endure that expense and they could offer it to their customers. They just don't. They wait till something breaks and then they replace it. In fact, unfortunately, they wait long past something broke before they replace it.
I gotta go. Adios.
You're off, Ross?
I've been off for a long time.
I'm just verifying.
Well, you were about to start a new topic.
I've got other topics.
Yeah.
I read this morning that Google plans to put a badge of shame in Chrome for websites that don't load quick enough. So I think this is kind of a cool idea. If your web browser has some pre-knowledge of where you're going and it says to you, this is a slow website in whatever form it is. Maybe it's a different color font, or maybe it's a literal badge that sits in the Chrome web browser. But just, I mean, being in Mexico, that's kind of cool. Why can't I bring, you know, you've all done it. You've all hit the link more than once, right? You've all started the link again. I've had customers I had to slap their hand and go, wait.
It's blinking.
Stop hitting the button.
You'll never get there.
Yeah, all you're doing is restarting this slow process. So I think that'd be kind of cool to have a badge pop up and go, you know, you're going to a low.
You keep at it, each time you press it, you restart?
Exactly.
Yeah. No wonder.
I didn't know.
And we think we're boosting it.
Right? I mean, hopefully your web browser's sophisticated enough to go, Oh, well, I already downloaded that, so I don't have to do it again. Because that's what you're hoping for, is that you have cached things. Because you hit the button again, you are starting the process again. And hopefully your web browser is sophisticated enough to look at that web page and go, oh, well, I already got that picture, and I already got that text, and I already got the 1,000 advertisements that are going to be shown to you while you look at this website. To be fair, the advertisements are what is causing everything to be so much slower than it needs to be. But yeah, so look forward to that in the future. We'll have some indicator that we know we're going to a slow website. That's with Chrome.
Thank you.
You know what I should tell you is because it's Disney Day and it's Windows 10 November 2019 major update day.
Oh God, not again.
You guys should expect the internet to suck today. I would expect it to, or blow, either direction. It's not going to be moving, it'll be moving like molasses. There is going to be computers, Windows computers all over that are downloading without any control over it, this major update to this to this operating system. They used to number the updates, and so the most recent one you might have would be called 1903. 1903 is an interesting naming scheme. What it really means is 2019 May edition. You should have had these, should have been released in May. But what I discovered that I haven't been paying any attention to is I had at least two computers in my network that got that edition this morning.
May was 5. Mine updated something.
You're right. It's March. I'm sorry. March. March.
I was going to say, yes.
March is the word I was supposed to use. March was the month I was supposed to use. I'm sorry.
No wonder we're confused.
Thank you. Sorry about that.
Mine updated sometime in the last month.
Yes.
While I was not using it. It screwed everything up.
Yep. Oh, dear. People have had all kinds of problems with it. And this 1909, which they are now rebranding November 2019, and I think this is how they're going to go forward. They're going to be calling these May 2019, March 2019.
Instead of the number.
Instead of the number now. It has been pre-released to a number of people for beta testing, and they've had all kinds of problems with it. Again, this is Windows 10. You don't get a choice whether you get these updates. If you have gotten the 1903, you will have options in your operating system to put off these updates a week at a time. So you could put it off for 7 days. But this thing is going to start showing up in your updates. And so we'll be talking about it as we go forward. I suspect anybody running Windows 10 at this table is not going to get this update in this next week, but it will be downloading into your computer and sitting waiting to be activated. And at some point in the future, it will update itself, and you're only going to be aware of it with a message on the screen saying, do you want to reboot now or later?
Congratulations.
That's right.
Later. You're the lucky winner.
None of this bothered us when we were getting this operating system for free, but I went out to see, what about getting Windows 10 on a computer I've built? If you have to go buy Windows 10, it's back up at $100 to $160. It's a pretty expensive operating system to have no choice in when things update. I've got two ancient computers that keep suffering from the update cycle. I mean, I had my entertainment center got an update last year that threw it completely offline. Like last night we were watching movies with it. The next morning I'm in full IT repair mode simply because of an update I can't refuse to take.
Is that Windows 7?
No, Windows 10.
I know.
Okay. They are not updating Windows 7 anymore.
I have three computers. Originally, one was 7, one was 8.1, and one was 10.
Yes.
The 7 and 8.1 were updated to 10.
Yeah.
They're slower than molasses.
Yes.
10 is fine. It's fine.
It might be worth it to back up the stuff that's important to you and just refresh it as a Windows 10 computer, just to make sure you've got any gook, for that's a technical term, any gook out of the system.
Let's look up gook.
Drain the swamp.
But and you, before you do that, what you can do is you can download the latest version of Windows 10, and unfortunately that would be the version in November 2019 starting today. But you can download it to a USB drive, and you can run an install in place off the USB drive. Yeah. And we've talked about that a little bit in the past, and I'm happy to talk about that a lot because it's something that I actually feel like any Windows user should be able to do. From the USB drive, you're able to start the install process, and it's an in-place, you could think of it as an in-place repair and replace. And it does not move files, it does not uninstall applications. What it does do is it reinforces the Windows environment you're supposed to have. It makes sure that every file that's in there is the latest version, and it's a good version of that file. So any standard hardware issues that might have broke files, like hard disk problems that might have broke files, or permissions issues that didn't allow files to install correctly, all of that. And this has been a very successful fix technique that I've been using for the last year on all my computers and customer computers. It's a go-to now. Whenever there's some strange... I've experienced more than once a strange problem after updates with this computer, where when I turn it on, I'm stuck with a black screen for a long period of time. I can see a cursor, I can see a mouse pointer, but I cannot get into Windows. I've had that experience right here when I've had to reboot the computer before computer class, and I've just been like, fingers crossed, it'll come back so I can record this message. And occasionally it has not come back. I've been sitting here waiting. We've been having the meeting, and I've been looking at a blank screen. Finally, it would come on. So this problem I've been able to resolve just by doing this in-place repair and replace from a USB install.
Well, you're a good
this
actor.
This is a thumb drive. So you have a thumb drive with this.
That's right.
Software on it.
Mm-hmm. That's
Where
right.
Did you get the software?
From Microsoft. Microsoft makes it available. What you're required to have is the Windows 10 license code. Now, the license code for a computer that started out as Windows 7 is typically on a sticker and typically not necessary for an in-place repair because it already has the license code, it's already been authorized, and it's on the same equipment, never asks for it. If it's a Windows 8 computer or a Windows 10 computer, it's already aware of it. Those codes are burned into the hardware that you're using, so you don't need the code for anything. So it's a very safe repair mechanism. The only part that's a little confusing is how to get it on the USB. But they've got an app that you can download from Microsoft, and when you run the app, and you download it and you run it. And when you, this is where they're screwing up. They should put it in the App Store. Because if it was in the App Store, it would be very straightforward. Download the Windows offline media creator, and you would download that, you'd run it, and it would tell you stick in a USB drive, and you'd create the USB drive. Instead, you got to Google search it, find the web page that provides it, and then download it. Tell your antivirus software that it's an okay thing to download. Run it from your file system, however you normally do that, and then go through the procedure of creating the USB drive. The USB drive will take a while to create because it has to download the image from Microsoft.
How big a file would that be?
It's about the size of a DVD. I think the last time I looked at it, it was just under 3 gigabytes of stuff.
It'll be an auto start. When you plug it back in, it's an auto start.
So when you use it in the manner that I'm describing, you would plug it in, you'd have a running Windows 10 operating system. You would plug it in, and it would either auto start the installer, or you'd go to it in the file manager and hit setup, and then that would start the process. And then it'll ask you questions like, do you want to keep all your files and applications? And so you definitely say yes, right? If you're repairing stuff, you definitely say, I want to keep my applications. Because that's what's missing right now. is there is a full recovery that you could do without the USB drive, but they don't give you an option to keep all your files and all your applications in place. So maybe I ought to just start selling USB drives with Windows 10 on them.
Yeah,
that would be better.
That would be, because I could just hand those out.
But still, it sounds like a scary thing to do.
Well,
yes,
it. There's potential for issues because you are reinstalling the operating system.
So really,
system.
You should sell the service.
So well, I already do. I already do
just
that.
Just market that particular service as a.
Because what I really sell is backing up all the data beforehand. Because that's what takes the fear out of it, is making sure you have a good backup.
Exactly.
What else do we have on Scott's list? We just have a couple more minutes left here. We've talked about the update. Expect internet to be slow and frustrating today. In fact, every time it's not slow and frustrating today, you can be like, hey, I'm winning. Anytime it's slow and frustrating, just remember, there's a lot happening today. I'll put a link to this article about the new Facebook Portal TV. Why I find this article very interesting is because this is a reviewist at CNET that reviews hardware and gives you their opinion of the ease of use, sophistication of hardware, whether it does the things that is advertised, and whether it's worth your money to buy. And this reviewist starts out by saying, I'll never recommend this product. This is an anti-review. Has absolutely nothing to do with the hardware and has to do with the poor stewardship of your data that Facebook has shown. And with all the privacy concerns and issues right now going on in Facebook, he could never recommend this product no matter how good it is. You know, regardless of whether it does what it was set to do, whether it does it with some level of sophistication with no problems, all that doesn't matter in this review, because he cannot support the way Facebook has been behaving in our internet community. And so the title of the review is "No One Should Buy the Facebook Portal TV." And I'll put a link to the website if you'd like to read it. I think it's really important point where we are in history, where Facebook has been such a poor manager of your data that it's affecting whether we think products are good or not. And this reviewist is like, no, flat out, there's no way I'm putting this thing in my house. Has anybody been aware of the Facebook Portal?
No.
They built these devices that are kind of like the Echo Show, where they've got a screen, they've got a camera, you can instantly start video conversations with people in your Facebook list, so you can talk to mom or your daughter or something by just like starting up an instant chat.
They send some info, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
They even advertise? I've never heard of that.
The Facebook Portal?
Yeah.
Well, they've had it out for the last year now.
Oh,
and it actually, as far as the hardware and the service, it gets good reviews.
Oh.
And what this latest device is, which is a very smart move from anyone but Facebook, is a camera microphone stick that you mount to the top of your big screen TV. And so you're able to do all the things that this portal is able to do, but you're able to use a display that already exists in your system. Right? But I think that there's a legitimate argument for staying away from this company. His testimonies in Congress recently, strong argument for staying away from this company. I mean, out and out told us they were going to let politicians lie to us. I like Twitter's approach. We're just not going to let politicians say anything. I mean, at least that's straightforward and fair. It's
Does that mean Trump's cut off too?
From Twitter? Yeah, it's funny.
No, I don't know.
He is not.
It's not whatever he's saying is not political.
Everything
he
says.
Allow advertising, right?
That's right. That's the point. Is no political advertising.
I still hear stuff.
Trump is not getting paid to say what he's saying. He's not paying. He's not paying Twitter to say what he's saying.
He's getting paid to say.
Absolutely. I'm sorry. I got it in reverse. That's.
Well, we're getting political.
So anyway, we'll keep it at that. Because they've proven to be such poor stewards, this reviewist is like, why would you get into any of these products? And that's to the end. Everybody is seeing we're at the end. This is the end, my friends. You're very welcome. Thank you for showing up, Robin. Thank you guys always for being here. There's no reason to do this if you're not here. It looks like now you gotta show up. Our tables are emptying out. One of our cameras has decided to die in the middle of the broadcast. So it still looks like Gary's sitting here even though he's not. I'd like to just say thanks for being with us today. This has been the San Carlos Computer Club. I am Scott Stimson from International Computer Solutions. If you have computer needs anywhere on the internet, get a hold of me, scott@internationalcs.net. If you've enjoyed this, you can subscribe to a podcast or look at our YouTube channel. I broadcast live on YouTube. You can find us at SCC Club. I'm sorry, let me try that again. You can find us at youtube.sccclub.org. You can check out our blog at sccclub.org. You can subscribe to us as a podcast. Wherever you get podcasts, just look for the San Carlos Computer Club and you'll find RSS feed by searching for the San Carlos Computer Club wherever you get your podcasts. This podcast will be up later today. The YouTube video should be up now. Until next Tuesday at 9:15, everyone just tack on.
Are you off, Scott?
I am almost off. I got to hit the stop screaming button.